The text I want to preach on is found in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and the verse is 17. It's a very, very familiar text to all of you, and I would think to all Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I believe most often Christians probably think of this as a promise, that if a sinner will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that this will all be his. And this is a promise. But this text is really, first, a positive statement of provable fact. Those claiming to be in Christ, all of us need to soberly consider this text and its implications. I mean, this is a soaring truth. I suppose in this day and age where truth is whatever a man decides it is, truth can lose its shine even to Christians, its power sometimes. You know, we begin to follow the ways of the world. Oh, isn't this encouraging? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a statement of provable fact. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. What we have first here in this text is a qualifying or defining statement. And then what follows is not a promise of something a Christian can obtain or should obtain even. What follows is an objective description of what a sinner becomes once he is a regenerated saint, once he has been born again by the Spirit of God through faith in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is, the text says. Not he could be, not he should be, he is. And so this is a very challenging text for us. It's a very critical text for us, a very important text. It's a very defining text. Now, to be in Christ means to be ingrafted into Christ, to be in spiritual union with Christ. It means to belong to Christ. It means to be a part of his spiritual body. It means to receive from him as being part of his spiritual body, as being in him, to receive from him and through him, of course, first eternal life, but then also all the gifts and all the graces and all the spiritual nourishment necessary to sustain that life, and more than to sustain it, but to be sanctified and to become spiritually mature. To be in Christ is to be quickened to life, to be sanctified, to be justified, to be adopted by God and accepted as his child, with all that that means, and it means a great deal. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, then you're a new creature. It says in our text, if any man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature here means literally a new creation. He is a new creation. In the conversion of a sinner to Christ, the Holy Spirit creates from a natural man, a man at enmity with God, a child of wrath. The Holy Spirit creates from that a spiritual man, reconciled to God, a new man. And Romans 5:1 says, one of my favorite texts, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Christian is a new creature. The Christian is a new man, as the scriptures also put it, a new man. And he has a new heart. He's been born again spiritually. He's been born from above. He's been born by the power of God. He's gone from being a natural man to being a spiritual man. He's gone from death to life. He's gone from being under the dominion of sin and Satan, and under the condemnation of the law, to being made free in Christ. He's been translated from darkness into the Lord's kingdom of light and life. Now, we ought to rejoice in this, if this is us. I said this text was a positive statement of provable truth, and so it is, but it's also a cause for rejoicing. If this is our testimony, is this your testimony? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is a powerful transformation. This is a regeneration of the inner man. This is no small thing, to be created as a new creature, to be transformed, but to be regenerated is the way we ought to put it. I mean, in this day and age of say the prayer, sign the card, and don't worry about it, in this day and age when, quite frankly, the Holy Spirit is so quenched in our churches and oftentimes in our own life, these words don't seem to resonate with many as they should. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is a regeneration. A new creature. Colossians 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Too often people think of coming to Christ and being born again. They say, well, now I'm all right. I've got heaven. There's a little more to this transaction, to this regeneration, than saying, well, now I have heaven. Something happens now, here. It says here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This renewed in knowledge speaks of the Christian, the new creature being renewed in the righteous knowledge of God. Man lost this when Adam fell. Man lost the knowledge of God, the righteous knowledge of God. The natural man can still discern enough about God from the creation to condemn him, because he doesn't seek after God and seek to worship him as God. But this natural man can't discern the spiritual things of God. Because as the scriptures tell us and our Christian experience testifies to us, they're only spiritually discerned. And so there's been a knowledge of God lost. A righteous knowledge of God lost. But those regenerated by the Spirit and indwelt by the Spirit, those who have become new creatures can discern spiritual things. And so they're renewed to a great extent, not yet fully, that won't happen till glory, but we are renewed to a great extent to the knowledge of God that was lost when Adam fell. And so when a sinner becomes a saint, he's renewed in knowledge after the image of God, and he can discern spiritual things, the things of God. There ought to be some signs of this. This ought to manifest itself. If any man be in Christ, and he is a new creature. And then Ephesians 4, verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, the new man is created by the power of God alone. But we're called to put on the new man. We become the new man, but we're called to put on the new man in the sense that we're to live as new men, as true Christians now. And although the new man, the new creature, still retains a sin nature, there is a restoring. There is a restoring of the image of God which was lost with the fall. I mean, that man was created righteous and holy. Perfectly righteous. He had an original righteousness and he was holy. He hadn't sinned. And now the Christian, as a new creature, first possesses an outward imputed righteousness which justifies him. And in this way, God remains just. But now he begins to obtain an inner righteousness. We begin to get back, if you will, the inner righteousness which manifests itself then outwardly in our works. And this will be made perfect and complete when we're glorified. This inner righteousness, this inherent righteousness. The Romanists think that in justification we acquire an inherent righteousness. And of course it all becomes or begins with baptism. And of course they're wrong. And the Reformation was a great battle over justification. And then, of course, the text also said that I just read, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the Christian is first sanctified in the sense that he becomes God's holy possession, but now he possesses an inner holiness. Oh, it might only be just a spark of holiness at first, not what it should be, but it will grow. It should grow. We can stunt that growth. We're to follow after holiness. But we have that now that was lost. We're a new creation. Now it's the Word of God, and it ought to be a self-evident truth to men. This regeneration of a sinner into a saint by the power of God must then have profound consequences and give obvious evidences. It must. It must. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, the text says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This must have profound consequences. It must give obvious evidences. But we had first a positive. We had first a positive statement of objective truth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, this is no less than an objective, eternal, immutable truth which proceeds from God, not from men. We need to receive it that way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The text itself, let alone the rest of the scriptures, forbids us to treat that statement in a speculative or subjective or light or dismissive way. We are to hear it, we are to receive it, we are to ponder it, we are to apply this truth, and we're to put on the new man. We ought to first consider ourselves and prove ourselves whether we be in Christ. I said, this is an objective statement, and it is. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we ought to first consider and ponder and meditate upon this and its implications and what it means, and then prove ourselves. Are we in Christ? Then we ought to also use this text as part of our spiritual armor, to protect ourselves against the lie that any Christian, well, any man who says, I am a Christian, I've said a prayer, but we don't see a new creature. We don't see old things are passed away. We don't see all things are become new. Far from it. We ought to use this text to protect ourselves against the lie that says every man is a Christian by virtue of his claiming Christ. Well, a tree is known by its fruit. Now, I said first we ought to consider ourselves and prove ourselves whether we be in Christ. You know, it is interesting when it comes to their physical health and physical death. Most people will not be satisfied these days unless they're made sure that they are free of any deadly disease. But when it comes to the deadly disease of sin and the eternal death it produces, many who profess Christ don't show any concern for this. I mean, here they are. They show all the signs of having this deadly disease. None of the signs really of being spiritually healthy and having eternal life. But where's the concern? You say, I'm in Christ. Well, listen today to what I share. Listen today to the preaching of God's Word. Consider this text. Are you in Christ? You're to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. There's going to be many, many, many in hell who, through all their life, I'm a Christian. I'm in Christ. And you know, the Holy Spirit was troubling them about one thing or another. Their inconsistency, their coldness, the things that we're going to be talking about. And they just brushed it off. They just brushed it off. Well, I've made a profession. I must be in Christ. But if you've made a profession, then God has done a work, and a powerful, powerful work in you. So you need to be concerned if you're not seeing evidence of that work. You need to be concerned for your soul. Turn ye. Turn ye, the prophet says. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Now in this description, which is before us, of what the Lord has wrought in his new creature, there is a sequence. First, the apostle states, old things are passed away. There's a sequence. Old things are passed away, he says first. In conversion and regeneration, in the creation of the new creature, there is, of course, an imputation of Christ's righteousness to the sinner so that he might be justified and that God might remain just. And there is a pardon given, and there's a purging of sin by the merit of Christ's blood atonement applied. Revelation 1, verse 5 says that Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But there's also a passing away or a perishing of old things. That's what that means, passing away. It means perishing. There is a perishing of old things. And the text says old things are passed away. Old things are perished. The same word appears in Revelation 21, verse 1. I say, translated from the same Greek word, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There was a new heaven, a new earth, a new creation. And so it is when we come to Christ. Old things are passed away. There is a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things, the text says, are passed away. Old things have no place in a new creation. New wine is put in new wineskins. With a new creation, with this new creature, old things, the text says, are passed away, and all things are become new. Now clearly, every Christian still has a sin nature, and every Christian does sin, and away with this sinless perfectionist, foolishness, wickedness, false doctrine. So we have a sin nature, we sin, but old things are passed away. This old things are passed away is speaking of the inner man and the heart, and then the change which takes place first on the inside, but then it manifests itself practically on the outside. There is a change. You shouldn't just say, well, certainly I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Well, what is the proof of that? What's happened inside you to affect what goes on outside you as far as your actions, your words, and so forth? What old things then are truly passed away from the man who's in Christ, a new creature? Well, first of all, I talked about the inside. A Christian is no longer living condemned by his conscience. He's no longer living condemned by his conscience. Secondly, a Christian no longer feels enmity toward God. Sinners are at enmity with God. I say before they're in Christ, and of course most are never in Christ, but those who are not in Christ are at enmity with God. They're children of wrath. They're at enmity by their very nature and their sin. They're at enmity just by their nature. Just what we were before we were a Christian put us at enmity with God, our very nature. Everything was against God. We were what God hated. We didn't wear that robe of righteousness that Christ imputes to us. We hadn't been washed or purged of our sin. We were an offense to God. And also sinners, it's not just what they are. Sinners have an active enmity toward the true God. You might say, I never did. Yes, you did. And it would have surfaced sooner or later, manifested itself. I'm sure it did in one way or another. Sinners always reject the justice of God as too harsh. Well, certainly he wouldn't send, you know, this person who never heard Christ preach to hell. Or certainly this or that wouldn't be fair. That's too harsh, even though the Bible says, well, this is the justice of God. They don't understand the justice of God. And it becomes too harsh. Well, that's being at enmity with God. That's accusing God of being unjust. Sinners reject the sovereignty of God as unfair. This isn't fair. These things that are happening to me, and this person over here does fine, and look at me over here, and so on and so forth. When hardship or tragedy strikes, And I have seen this myself a number of times. The man who's not in Christ will feel that God is unloving. And certainly this isn't fair. Why did this happen to him? Why did it happen to her? There's an enmity there that surfaces. And of course, by the way we sin, we're at enmity with God. When we do things that our conscience says is wrong, we're striking out against God and his righteousness and his holiness. And then thirdly, we're talking about old things are passed away. The new creature has been freed from his old master. I mean, he serves a new master, Christ Jesus, rather than self and sin and Satan. And so there's a change there. The old master is gone. And next, when a sinner becomes a saint, his man-centered thinking and spiritual antipathy passes away forever. Forever, I say. Now, we're saying that we ought to prove ourselves, examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And we're talking about this text, what it means, its practical application, its very real implications, as a statement of positive truth. I said, when a sinner becomes a saint, his man-centered thinking and spiritual, his spiritual coldness, his antipathy, his whether he knows it or not, his contempt for spiritual things, that all passes away. His apathy towards spiritual things. I mean, before we were in Christ, we loved the world and the things that were in the world. We did. Our concerns and our happiness centered and depended on the things of this world. We can say, well, I wasn't like so-and-so, or I wasn't as far gone as so. But you know that we loved this world. Our happiness was all bound up in the things of this world. And before we were in Christ, we didn't think much on eternity. Heaven, well, if we thought about death, then heaven was a possible antidote to hell or eternal annihilation, but nothing more. It wasn't, you know, something to look forward to or to desire. And before we were in Christ, our decisions and our actions were dictated by our own opinions and desires. Mine were. I never prayed about anything. I just did it. I thought it through practically. If I had to make a decision, and then I made the decision. I dictated what I did, the decisions I made, not God. I'm talking now about the decisions we come to every day in life. And we didn't seek to know the Lord's will in all things. We didn't concern ourselves with his glory. We didn't trust ourselves into his care. These are all the old things that have passed away. We're no longer like that. Before a man is in Christ, he concerns himself with what he thinks is right, or what people will think. He doesn't concern himself with what saith the Lord or what pleases the Lord. When we were children of wrath, we didn't have a concern about what the Lord said. We had a concern about what we thought was right and what we thought was wrong. And we had no true appetite for spiritual things. We didn't read the Bible. Maybe we tried, but we sure didn't read it very much. We sure weren't consistent in our Bible reading. Do you hear me? This should pass away. Old things are passed away. We didn't have an appetite for the Word of God. We didn't hunger for the Word of God. And so if we did read the Bible at all, it was a little here and a little there. I'm telling you, old things have passed away. I'm giving you a yardstick, a measuring rod for you to apply to yourself in your life. We didn't pray before we were in Christ. And we didn't care about church, did we, going to church? We might have taken our children to Sunday school, if we had children, but that's because we thought it was good for them. We wanted to do what was good for them. We may have even talked to them about God, but this was all by the grace of God and out of concern for our children. We ourselves didn't hunger and thirst after the righteousness and word of God. We didn't yearn to be with the people of God, in the presence of God, tasting the goodness and power of God. The unsaved are at worst contemptuous and hateful towards spiritual things. And at best they're cold, they're uninterested. It's a burden, not a blessing. The things of God, church, the Lord's Day, the reading of God's Word, the preaching of God's Word, oh, what a burden. That is boring. They're just not, the unsaved are just not interested. They don't have a taste for it all. Until, of course, the Spirit of God begins to draw the man. Now, when a man is in Christ, this spiritual apathy, this contempt for spiritual things, this antipathy for spiritual things, this all is passed away forever. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. If these things have not passed away, then you be concerned for your soul. You may be living a lie. And you ought to seek the Lord while he may be found. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the text first states this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This has to do with regeneration. This has to do with the spiritual birth. This has to do with the new heart. This has to do with the new man, the new creation. Then the text speaks of old things passing away. And now, finally, the text tells us this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't this a serious thing? Isn't this a critical thing? Shouldn't we concern ourselves with these things? This is eternity. This is the difference between an eternity in torment, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and eternity with the Lord and his people, the saints of God, the hosts of God, the paradise of God. Behold, all things are become new. Those who are in Christ have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. They've been born again. They've been born from above spiritually. They've been born by the power of God. They've been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're new men after God created in righteousness and true holiness, the scriptures say. Now it follows that this new creature, in whom old things are passed away, will then have become new in all things. That's what the text tells us. New in his thinking, new in his affections, new in his desires, new in what he holds to be valuable. He'll have new values. He'll have new purposes. He'll have new principles. He'll have new priorities. He'll have new reasoning. He'll have new focus. He'll have new actions. He'll have new words. He'll keep new company, the company of the saints. He'll have a new way of life because he's a blood-washed child of God. And this is all by the power of God. I can look back when I was saved, and I can rejoice because, you know, you get saved and you're far from a perfect person. Satan will even assail you more. You will have your stumblings, your failings, perhaps your fallings. But you can look back. If you're truly a Christian, you can look back and say, there, I see the power of God working on me. There, I see I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be with the saints of God. I wanted to know what the Word of God said. And I started reading the Bible, and I had a hunger for the Bible, and I wanted to do the things that God wanted me to do. And I got stirred up and zealous for His glory and for His cause. And that is all the Lord working in me. And all glory goes to Him. But I had that comfort of having that witness. Now, all things are become new. Well, first of all, one thing that becomes new is the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, and your conscience bears witness with the Holy Spirit in that your conscience no longer condemns you. You're not under condemnation. There is no condemnation for them that are in Christ, the Bible says. What I mean is that the Christian, while he is convicted when he sins, his conscience bears witness that his sins have been atoned for, that he's a child of God, that he has access to the throne of grace, that when he confesses his sins, because they've been atoned for, and the atonement is applied, and when he confesses his sins, that God is faithful and just, forgive him of his sins and cleanse him of all unrighteousness. You have that witness. You have the assurance that your sins are truly purged from you when you confess them. They've truly been put out of God's sight for the sake of Jesus. The unregenerate, the unjustified sinner doesn't have this assurance or witness. And then secondly, a Christian truly loves God and trusts God. Not to the extent we ought to, perhaps, sometimes. But the love is there, and the trust is there. It needs to grow in us, doesn't it? It needs to grow in me. I mourn how much it has to grow. But it's there. You love God. You don't just do the things that the Scriptures say because the Scriptures say them. You want to. You love God. I want to obey God. I want to please God. I want to glorify God. I want to serve God. And you trust God. And the Christian recognizes God's sovereign prerogatives. He rejoices in God's sovereign mercy. He avails himself of God's sovereign grace. He walks by faith, and it's a faith that worketh by love. Now, while the Christian, we often see through a glass darkly. I mean, there are times we see only through a glass darkly, and we might find ourselves bewildered. But we know in our heart that the Lord will only give us that which is for our own good and God's own glory. We know it in our heart. We might be bewildered sometimes. It might be a hard time, but in our heart we know. We don't accuse God. We don't lash out at God. We don't get angry at God like some of these wolves in sheep's clothing say, go ahead, be angry at God, he understands. No, he doesn't understand. He's angry at you, you child of wrath. A true Christian doesn't lash out at God and get angry. He might feel himself in a dark night of sorrow and have trouble understanding for a while, but he knows God is there. God has not forsaken him. And he now sees that all the ways of God are righteousness and truth, and there is no shadow of turning with God. And though he may be enduring a hard trial, in his heart he knows that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then thirdly, the new creature has been freed from his old master. He serves a new master, Christ Jesus. That's part of the all things are become new. I mean, old things are passed away. We no longer serve Satan and sin and self, but there is something new. We have a new master, Christ Jesus. Both of these things take place. We still have a sin nature, and so sin is still our enemy, but sin is no longer our master. Sin may still be pleasurable and appealing to the sin nature, but you know the spiritual man, the new creature, hates the sin that his flesh loves. That's the difference. You may have not sinned in the past before you were a Christian because what would others think? Or, I don't want to hurt a loved one. Or, how would this affect me? But now, you don't want to sin because you hate what God hates, and God hates sin. And Jesus Christ died and suffered because of sin. And sin may have its temporary victories. And sin is an ever-present enemy. But sin no longer has dominion over the Christian. Before we were Christians, we may have avoided certain sins, but it was only because of the disapproval of men or because of temporal consequences or because we didn't want to hurt a loved one. Now, a Christian's not only freed from the dominion of sin. Sin doesn't control him. Sin is not his master. He hates sin because God hates sin, and Christ suffered for sin. And a Christian, though he still sins, desires to be free of all sin. All sin. Doesn't want to sin. Doesn't matter how much the flesh loves the sin, he doesn't want to do it. Now he's seen the holiness of God. And so because he's seen the holiness of God, he's seen the sinfulness of sin. And because he's seen the holiness of God, he's seen the wretched wickedness of his own sin nature. And this is the nature that desires to be master over him. And so he says with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's what he says. Now next, the man who's a new creature in Christ is no longer man-centered in his thinking. His antipathy and his contempt and his coldness towards spiritual things passes away. It is passed away. The Christian's a spiritual man now, indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now he desires to pray. Now he has a deep desire to know and understand the Word of God. Now he has a zeal for the glory of God. Now he has a deep concern for the church of God. It's not me, me, me. It's what of God's glory? What of God's cause? What of the church of God? How do I affect the church of God? How do I discourage the saints of God sometimes by my actions or inactions? There's a concern for something other than me. And the assembling together with the saints of God is no longer a burden. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. The new creature, the one who's in Christ, will go to great lengths to keep from being deprived of this blessing. It's not, oh, I have to go to church. No, it's, God, help me to be in church. Help me to be there, not to miss it. I don't want to miss it, God. This is the Lord's day. I should be in church. You know, ideally we would spend all of our time together worshiping and praying. This is the time for the saints of God to come together. Do you know, the Lord's day is not family day. It's not a day for us to spend just, well, this is a great time to spend with our family. It is family day in one sense, but first is the church, the saints of God, the assembling together. If we were ideal, we would spend the entire day worshiping, praying, fellowshipping, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, learning the things of God, the whole day together. That's what it's for. And the Christian has a desire to do that because he's a new creature, because old things are passed away, because all things are become new. And the Christian has an abiding interest and concern for the preaching of the gospel and for the work of evangelism. And he's grieved by false doctrines and false teachers. And he hates all the things that God hates and loves all the things that God loves. He's not a disinterested or mildly interested spectator standing on the sidelines of life, watching the Pope blaspheme the blood of Jesus, watching the neo-evangelicals mocking the righteousness of Christ and the purity of the church. He's not a disinterested spectator. As men attempt to unthrone God and take control over life itself and decide who lives and who dies and spread sexual perversion all across the country. You know, the Christian hates what God hates. Loves what God loves. Desires to do the good works he was created in Christ Jesus to do. Faith produces works. A new creature was created for good works. The Christian loves all the ways and works and things of God and seeks after all the spiritual treasure of heaven. His conversation is in heaven. His hope is in heaven. His home is in heaven. And he becomes more and more heavenly minded. He's a new creature. All things are become new. The worldly and the vain things which once took up his time more and more are replaced with things which strengthen him as a Christian and please the Lord. Now he has a desire to glorify and enjoy God. Now this desire to glorify and enjoy God is a current which runs through all that he is and all that he does. And the Christian no longer relies on himself. But he seeks the Lord in all things. And the Christian no longer trusts in himself, but he commits himself to the Lord in all things, temporal and spiritual, and it shows by his commitment to the cause of Christ and his church. Oh, I'm trusting in the Lord in all things. Where's the commitment? Where is the commitment? Where is the confidence that God will bless the man or the woman that loves what he loves and hates what he hates? Where's the confidence in that? Where's the confidence? The Christian no longer sees his temporal possessions as his own, let alone his life, but desires to present all of this and himself even, as a living sacrifice, which is his reasonable service. Now, those in Christ are not perfect in all the things I've mentioned. We know that. But you see, these old things, the Bible says, are passed away. And I have been talking about what takes place inside of us and how it manifests itself, practically speaking. And all things are become new. And so we may not be perfect in all these things. There are things I haven't mentioned, which the Word of God also speaks of in this regard. But we may not be perfect. We may fall short in some ways with regard to the letter, but we don't lack the Spirit. We don't lack the Spirit. The new creature has become new in every way. And all these things I've spoken about, if we fail, it's because our sin nature got the upper hand. But it's not the other way around, where we just have no interest for these new things, but we try to force ourselves. That's not true. If you're in Christ, your interest is there. Your zeal is there. There is a consistency, and occasionally that might break. You might fail. It's not the other way around. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I said this is a positive statement of fact. I said this is a description of a Christian. So now it only remains to ask, does this describe you? Does this describe me? If you're a Christian, it will describe you. Perhaps not yet to the full extent it should in a practical sense. But the things I've spoken of will be found in you. God is not a man that he should lie. And he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we ought to maybe speak of one more thing. We ought to maybe speak on one more thing in our text. That therefore, which begins the text, therefore. Perhaps here we'll find an explanation for Christians who don't seem to be new creatures. People who say, well, I'm a Christian, but you don't seem to be a new creature. It doesn't seem that old things have passed away. Old things seem to still have a home with you, and new things don't. Now, I've preached on each portion of this text except that one very meaningful opening word, therefore. And that relates back to what's been said previously by the apostle. And I don't have time to go back over many verses, which would be good to do to get even more context. But I do have time to go back to the verse just prior to the one we've been looking at. And that states, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What Paul's saying here of himself and the other apostles, he certainly is also applying to other Christians. Because he's not speaking of something unique to an apostolic or even a pastoral office or an office of elders, anything like that. He's speaking of a spiritual characteristic of a true Christian, one who knows Jesus Christ in a saving way, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. What I'm saying is, you have heard about this new creature, in whom old things are passed away, and all things are become new. you have been exhorted to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, if you don't see these new things, if the old things seem to still be there, perhaps here's the answer. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. People say, I know Christ, I know Christ, I know him as my Savior. But here, briefly put, what the Holy Spirit is teaching us through Paul is that those who have a saving faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ no longer know men first after the flesh. First, we don't know men anymore after the flesh. In other words, the Christian doesn't judge men by the world standards. And he doesn't himself seek to pass the judgment of the world and to be accepted by those who are in the flesh. He doesn't follow after those who are in the flesh. He doesn't desire the things that they have and they want. He doesn't know any man after the flesh, because he's not after the flesh. He's a spiritual man. What I'm saying is the Christian makes his judgments according to the Word of God, and the Christian conforms his life to the Word of God by the Spirit of God, not to the expectations or demands of men. You see how that can affect somebody. Someone says, well, I'm a Christian, but I see you running after these people. Your friends are all those who are of the flesh. You want what they want. You go after the same things they want, have. You are made glad by what they are made glad by. You have the same standard of judgment as they do. You just know them by the flesh. You're not a spiritual man. You're not a spiritual woman. You don't make spiritual discernments and have spiritual desires. So the Christian, then, who is now a spiritual man, does not live according to the flesh. And so Paul says, we know no man. What does Paul say? He says, know we no man after the flesh. And then he states this, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Before we were in Christ, we knew Christ after the flesh. What that means is when we were natural men, we held carnal views of Christ. Our understanding of Christ was carnal. We knew him as unregenerated men know Christ. Some sinners now hate Christ, that's true, but far more simply know Christ as they think he should be, or how their natural mind supposes him to be. They know him after the flesh. They don't know him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, with all that means. And they don't know him as omnipotent Redeemer. They don't know him as their prophet, priest, and king. They don't know the love of Christ. They don't know the severity of Christ toward those who reject him. They don't know the holiness of Christ. They don't know the righteousness of Christ. They don't have any regard for his cross, his crown, his covenant. They don't know his love for his church. That certainly shows. They don't take notice of or understand his words, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So they know Christ after the flesh, not by the Spirit, not as one in spiritual union with Christ. And so it's not true of them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, Paul says that wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And then, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. But those who do are not new creatures. Old things are not passed away. All things have not become new. When a man is truly born again by the Spirit of God, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. False converts may say all the right words. I might be speaking to a false convert here. Certainly, many people hear these sermons. False converts will hear this message. And false converts may say all the right words, but their concern is for the opinion and the ways of the world and their lack of commitment to covenant duties. They say they're in covenant with Christ. Well, what about their covenant duties? I'm saying they have citizenship duties as a citizen of heaven. What about their lack of zeal for the Lord? What about their lack of works? What about their lack of consistency and commitment to spiritual things? What about their lack of commitment to the cause and the church of Christ? All of these show they don't have a saving faith. They don't have a true knowledge of Christ, but they only know him after the flesh. The text is this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the question I leave you with is this: what Jesus said, what think ye of Christ? What does your conscience and your life testify you think of him? Do you know him in a saving way? Do you know him by the flesh? Or do you know him by the Spirit of God? Can you say of yourself, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Prophet Isaiah said this: look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You may be trying to save yourself by your own profession. You may be trying to save yourself. You're fooling yourself. There's none of this that we talked about. None of us stand here today saying we're perfect. But if you're in Christ, you see that. You see that working of God in you. You see the new things. You see the old things passed away. You know they have. There are many, many who are not in Christ, and they struggle and they flounder and they're inconsistent and they're up and they're down and they're mourning because they want to do this and they want that, but they don't have it. And I want peace and I want joy and I want to walk close to Christ. Oh, I just want to be holy. Oh, I want to stop this sinning. Oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And you see, they're just old creatures. They're not new creatures. They're natural men. There hasn't been a work done. And they're going to keep that up till the day they die, unless they're regenerated by the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ. And I will tell you something. I want to tell you something. I'm approaching my 60th year. Two and a half more years, I'll be 60. So I've seen a little life now. And I've seen a little death. And I'm telling you, there are many people alive today that don't realize the wrath they are storing up, the fire they are fueling. What's going to happen to them? Even if they're a Christian, but let alone, of course, those who aren't Christians, but this inconsistency, this ignoring all of God's warnings that they're not in Christ, that they're a false convert. So take this seriously today. Every last one of you, take it very, very seriously what the Lord has said in his word.